just had some time this afternoon we wanted to spend with you to get the budget reports in the shape of line. I'm glad we did, because you made a couple of changes.
The actual changes are environmental health. We'll have those back to you.
We'll have it ready for you to sign in, depending on how you do next week with those two bills. Why, when you're ready, why all three of those can go out. The budget report's ready for you. Okay?
Do that on Monday, then, Mr. Chairman.
Get out.
Get out.
Monday.
Okay.
That's our plan.
You knew about Monday?
I do now.
Okay. All righty.
Good.
Okay. I don't want to be accused of delaying the session.
Well, it won't be us.
You will say something to Senator McCoy on the progress.
I definitely will.
Right?
Right.
Okay, so.
What is that, our last budget vote?
No, we got Stan Miss Philman tomorrow.
Yeah, the Joint Ways and Means Committee meeting, May 22nd, 1987, 1:30 p.m., room H174.
Madam, call the subcommittee to order, and let's, Gary, reconsider the vote by which we passed a bill. I have to wait, because I need to know what the bill was.
Special payments bill.
Yeah, Chairman moves that the subcommittee reconsider the vote by which we passed out the special payments bill. And is there objection to that motion? Hearing none, it's reconsidered, and then open a work session on the
House
special
payments bill. House Bill 5049.
House Bill 5049. And they're back here for, is it the fourth time this biennium, because they didn't get their estimates right? Or is it more?
This is maybe defensive.
No, this is special payments.
Mr. Chairman, this discussion focuses on the workers' compensation costs for employees of elected county officials, and there has been, have been, some problems in estimating the amount of money that was needed for this program. You remember there was the original action, an e-board action, then an action by this subcommittee. Apparently, there is still some outstanding costs that weren't covered, so they need another $20,000, and I'll let them describe that.
Mr. Chairman, there are problems in forecasting. There's one side of the coin. The other side is the Senate Bill 491, which impacts this particular area. There are two pieces to our recommendation to you this afternoon. One is for a supplemental appropriation for 1985-87 amounting to $20,000. The second part of our of the issue that we're addressing this afternoon takes place in the 87-89 period, where Senate Bill 491 has an impact. It would remove juvenile corrections personnel from coverage and thereby save money. As Mr. Weeks has pointed out, there's offsetting this is an increase, which Ms. Olson will describe for you in a minute, in the 1987-89. It's a reprojection, which diminishes the savings to about $68,000. And possibly she could outline for you what is happening in 87-89 that would cause this particular problem for us.
Go ahead.
For the record, my name is Sherry Olson. I'm administrator of the accounting division. What has happened with workers' compensation over the last year, much to our, I don't know, terribleness or whatever, the rates on the workers' compensation premium per 100 have gone from approximately 35 cents per 100 to 99 cents per 100. Initially, when we came in for the $46,000 increase, we thought we had taken care of the rates problem. We have done that. However, about 2 days after we met with you, we got the sixth and seventh quarters in, And the dollars, the subject wages have gone up about $100,000 per month. I'm not sure how to control this or how to find the information ahead of time, but this is what's happened. Sixth and seventh quarters, $100,000 up.
Mm-hmm.
We expect to have to pay approximately $20,000 in addition to what we have for appropriation for 85-87. If there are questions, I...
Representative Jones.
The proposed workers' comp adjustments, and I asked this question the other day, will that, and you don't need to answer this, will there be some reductions in that same area that the raises come from, if that bill's bad?
That the raises, Chairman...
Well, you mentioned an increase in the workers' comp rates in your presentation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then, under the new legislation, could those same rates be reduced?
I can't answer that, Mr. Chairman, Representative Jones. The rates in the, of course, are applied at the local level. These, kind of keep in mind, these are local government employees, and those rates, I can't tell you what's going to happen to them at the local level. We know, you know, they're not corresponding to the state level.
Well, basically, Mr. Chairman, as you well know, and we've all hoped it will happen, is that there would be a reduction in rates. If not, we've wasted a whole 6 months working on workers' comp, and some of those rates are unbearable right now. And if we're, this is just wasted effort, then there's not much use to even talking about it, I guess.
I agree.
Yes, Chairman.
Senator Hanna.
These county employees that are under state jurisdiction, what type of county employees are we discussing? Are these election employees?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hannon, these are juvenile corrections personnel, district attorney's office, and some health.
And there's a bill, Senate Bill 780, that passed the Senate and passed a judiciary subcommittee yesterday that would move the county commissioners the appointing authority over the juvenile department employees, and that would save, fiscal had estimated, about $200,000, but they're saying they've got bigger problems than that. So, the directors, they don't want to be supervised. That's the problem there.
Mr. Chairman, the figures that were developed by the accounting division indicate that we had suspected that we would have about $270,000 as a cost avoidance as a result of that legislation. However, when we look at the district attorneys and health positions,
and what positions?
And health official, their county jobs, but working for the in the health office.
Oh no.
We were only able to net out $68,000.
Is it too late to pass the bill, Senator Thorne? It just says counties pay for these costs?
Never too late, Chairman.
Does the subcommittee like to introduce a little bill that...
Let's go one step further. Would have, for an example, Mr. Peer, when without necessarily the authority of the legislature, the Water Resources Department entered into kind of a half-baked agreement on assistant water masters, would it have been then that those assistant water masters would have had their workers' comp insurance paid by the state?
If they were actually working, Senator Thorne, if they were working for the state water resources, state water master, as it were, there's a very good likelihood that they would.
It started out as kind of a contractual agreement. I never really understood fully what was involved, mm-hmm. But those are the kinds of situations that we're talking about.
Could very well.
Is the difficulty in trying to determine, as was testified, subject wages partially because agencies of state government are entering into agreements like that without the executive department or the legislature knowing about it?
I don't believe that that's the case, Mr. Chairman, Senator Thorne. I don't. I think this is more the formal arrangement where there is a state official out at stationed in the county, such as a circuit or district court judge. I don't think it's the, in fact, I know of no circumstances where it's the small contract arrangement type of thing. But we have, for example, one that immediately pops into mind because we've been dealing with it rather recently, and that is the personnel in the AAAs that are working with, under contract with the Senior Services Division. And there is no question they either are local employees or they're state employees. There's no ambivalence there.
Well,
I could, Mr. Chairman, we could resurrect the bill we submitted in 1985 to it would get us out of that.
It's fine with me. It won't be as easy as one might think, but it's certainly worth the effort.
I think we should do that. I really do. And at this point in the session, heck, it might just get back to Ways and Means and be worked on here.
I might ask our fiscal officer, by the way, Rick, what happened to our bill on the review of executive positions? Has it gotten back to Ways and Means Committee? Is it a vehicle that's amendable?
Well, then,
Representative Jones. Yeah, question, Mr. Chairman. These employees that we're talking about that are in the counties but are half the employees or whatever, and if we're going to just remove that the joint custody there, then are we also removing the authority that goes with that?
No.
So that, well, but now the counties, if you're going to force the counties to pay them, then they...
Well, they do pay them. Well, these are county employees paid by the counties. This only applies to the workers' comp payments because there's some statute somewhere, I suppose, or it's an attorney general's opinion that says if these county employees happen to have been appointed by a state official,
then
workers' comp pays, but the county still pays for them, and I just think it makes a whole heck of a lot of sense to have the counties go ahead like any other employer and pay the workers' comp, because this is an open vein here.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all, except Senator Thorne used as an example the assistant water masters, and I think in the past that the counties, if they wanted an assistant water master, they had to pay for them. But now I understood that there was a bill this year that may give them the authority.
There was. Hey, Donnie, yeah.
Never said a word.
Well, we discussed this kind of all session long. Remember how grumpy we were back in January with that indigent defense appropriation? We got to talking about what the counties did when they got the states to take over the court system. We've been grumpy. And there might just be the move here to go ahead and do something like that. Well, why don't we then just amend the bill and give you the $20,000 for the current biennium, let the dollar figure remain the same, you all come back to the e-board. How's that sound? And then see what happens in terms of legislation passing or not.
And are we going to put something on it about that? You see, that we set up the state court administrator's office, so all these things would be controlled, scrutinized. So is there something we can put on here to say that there shouldn't be uncontrolled growth? I don't suppose there is.
We can't, because they can't help it. It's how many employees counties decide to hire, then that share gets picked up by the states. That's why it's just open-ended.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hannon.
I don't know from which one gave her. Go ahead and give her $20,000, and we can amend that. But I do think that the issue still needs to be addressed, because these counties, once they build it, to go out and enforce health regulations, keep a portion of the receipts and act as an agent of the state, but yet dump all the responsibility back on the state to give up the additional personnel costs. And I think that if they want their pie, they can certainly have their pie, but they can pay for the entire piece of the pie rather than a portion of the pie.
By golly, it sounds like we have unanimity here in the subcommittee. So the first thing we'll do, what's the bill number again?
House Bill 1549. The way you handled this last time, Mr. Chairman, is you reduced the surplus that was in the mass transit, general fund mass transit program, and transferred that to use for these workers' comp. So if you were to do the same thing, there's enough, my understanding is there's enough money that you can take another 20 grand out of the mass transit appropriations.
Second. Correct, Mr. Pierre. So Senator Hannon moves that House Bill 5049 be amended to transfer $20,000 from reserves in the mass transit fund to the line item that says, what does it say, deputy?
It's workers' compensation costs.
Workers' compensation costs. Objection to that motion? Hearing none, so ordered. Senator,
did you want a motion about the Willamette University subsidy now? Or this is that same budget. I know you don't. Go ahead. I thought that's why Representative Jones left, hoping I'd make a motion.
The chair apologizes for any violation of process that might have occurred earlier on, and further understands that Willamette has agreed to the amount of money that's in the special payments bill and says that they will continue the contract.
And that's why I withdraw my earlier outburst about voting on this bill and this budget time.
You have my deepest heartfelt apology right here on the record.
That's all right.
Okay. So, Senator Hannon moves House Bill 5049 as amended to the full committee with the Duke House recommendation. Objections? So ordered. Then, the chair moves that the subcommittee recommend to the full committee bill introduction or amendment of a bill in the full committee to put a stop to this problem of having to pay for workers' compensation for counties.
Mr. Jones. If you're successful in your attempt, then this lady does not need the $20,000.
Just for the current biennium, yes.
Maybe 587.
Right. I'm afraid we couldn't go probably. There's something about retroactive law that we could, I think.
Gary, 882 is our bill that we're going to use for the that would raise question about the executive's ability to appoint or move positions without our authority. You might look at that and see if you think
we can
council could address the question that Representative Kraken is pointing
out. So is there an objection to that motion? That a bill be introduced, or we find one amendment to deal with the issue or the amendment.
Good. This carries. Now then, thank you very much for pointing out that problem. So we're back now to open a work session on the Department of Insurance and Financial Institutions. Which issue do we deal with first, Mr. Weeks?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure whether you resolved the question of the funds, whether there should be any single fund or not.
I heard a rumor that we hadn't resolved it yet. So,
Mr. Long, did you have something to say on the subject of funds that the subcommittee had wished to establish separately, one for insurance and one for financial institutions and one for worker compensation?
If I may?
Yeah.
Well, he's coming up, Mr. Chairman. I had a call during the noon hour. I want you to know that associating with this committee is dangerous. I spent some time in the other day, and I had a call from the ranch that someone rolled in and took 2 30-gallon barrels of Roundup out of my
Yep.
No, at $72 a gallon is liquid gold. So the associations here are very, very suspicious.
So everyone here, except for Representative Jones Have you checked your property recently? You better have somebody look after it. Oh, Mr. Longshore, I'm going to show my wallet. Okay.
Yeah.
Wallet on. Okay.
Chairman, for the record, my name is Stan Long. I work at the Commerce Department, and we do request that you establish or authorize a single fund for the Department of Insurance and Finance. I think the principal reasons, from my standpoint, I'll try to summarize them real briefly. I think it's more efficient. I think additional funds would qualify as being non-essential. I think it's through executive department accounting reports and Secretary of State's audits that you ensure that revenue is dedicated for specific purposes, is used for those purposes. I think that the creation of a single fund, which would involve individual cost centers, would allow us to properly account for insurance, financial institutions, and workers' compensation revenues. I think statutory dedication, a statutory dedication is adequate. It's a legal requirement that would not be lightly overcome. Finally, I guess, I know it may seem like we're asking you to do something that's unusual or risky or beyond the norm, and I don't think that's the case, number one. But if it is, if I'm wrong, because I don't have the broad perspective that y'all do, if I'm wrong, I think the important message, mission of the department justifies that. What I've done to check the basis of my own experience and opinion has gone to Bill Miles, the supervisor of the State Audits Division, and asked him to look at the issue and to come here and discuss it with you if you'd grant the time for that, because I think it's a different kind of perspective about how one verifies how things were done. And if that would be all right, I'd like to yield the microphone to him and let him say a few words to the committee.
Is Mr. Miles here? Fine. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Bill Miles, Director of Audits for the Secretary of State, and I will apologize for my artwork on the exhibit that's being handed to you. I'm not quite as good at drawing little pictures as Mr. Burke is. What I've tried to do is make a kind of a simple schematic of what happens when a fund is created and how the different parties that are involved in accounting for it get into the process. When you create a fund, there are three agencies involved: the state treasurer, the executive department, and the agency itself. And on page one, you'll see some solid lines going back and forth with arrows on them between the agency, the treasurer, the agency executive department, and the treasurer. Those solid lines indicate data flow. The dotted lines indicate which agency reconciles their accounts to which other agency. So in looking at page one, we'll see that data goes back and forth between the agency and the state treasurer. It goes back and forth between the agency and the executive department, and it goes back and forth between the executive department and the state treasurer. The agencies reconcile their accounts to the executive department. The executive department reconciles its fund totals to the fund totals on the records of the state treasurer. There can also be, and I didn't indicate on this one, there can also be a dotted line between the agency and the state treasurer. If you have an agency that operates out of a fund, a single agency responsible for a single fund, then they would also reconcile their accounts to the state treasurer. In the case of the general fund, I think that's the only fund where we have more than one agency operating out of a single fund. Obviously, an agency cannot reconcile the state treasurer because they only have one little piece of the general
fund. Now, this proposed department, it might have a single fund. In fact, I think the Director of Commerce just stated that,
that's
his goal.
That's
so they'd be off here to the side. Or, no, there'd just be a dotted line, and they wouldn't be interfacing with exec. Is that what
they
you're
would
telling
be interfacing
me?
With exec. What we would have here is a dotted line running from the agency to the treasury.
I see.
That's not on this schematic.
Last time I saw schematics like this was in the newspaper when they got a hold of some of Ollie North's notes.
Oh, great. I understand you've heard about heard about grain elevators and whatnot, I guess, somebody somewhere along the way characterized fund accounting in the public sector as cookie jar accounting. You create all these individual little cookie jars, and you put certain cookies in each kind of a jar, and you tell certain people that they can take this kind of cookie out of that jar and some other kind of cookie out of another jar. So maybe we want to think about it in terms of cookie jars. But what happens in the normal, and this is kind of a generalization and overview, what happens in this data flow, usually the agency collects the revenue, they deposit the revenue in an account that's under the control of the state treasurer, they transmit information to the treasurer, tell him what fund is involved, the treasurer makes an entry in his records, he tells the executive department that he's received the money, deposited it in a fund, and then the reverse is true when an agency is going to make a disbursement. They send a voucher to the executive department. The executive department issues a warrant drawn on a fund. The warrant goes around through the banking system, comes back to the state treasurer. He pays the warrant, and he tells the executive department that he has paid the warrant. So that's kind of the way the data flows. If you have an error somewhere in that process, then all three agencies are involved in trying to correct that error, usually. You can have the treasurer make a mistake, correct his own error. You could have the executive department make a mistake, correct their own error. But if the agency, for example, tells the state treasurer, gives them the wrong fund number, then the executive department is going to make the same mistake the treasurer did. So you can have more than one person involved in correcting errors.
Senator Wise.
Could I ask a question? The concern I have doesn't seem to be addressed in these drawings, although I think they're very helpful. But if you're going to consider this wheat or water or cookies or whatever, if you dump all of them into one container instead of dumping them into, say, three separate containers, then if a time comes when you would have emptied one of those three containers by taking care of a debit, instead, by there being all three in the same container, that container doesn't become empty, so you don't have to dump more into any one of the three in order to be able to pay it out. And I understand that part of it. But the question I have in my mind is if what you, the theory of being able to do that is that sometimes you're going to use something that's been dumped in to one of the, what would have been one of the other two containers to satisfy the demand on the third, when the money's all in there together. Now, the part that you draw out of that larger container that would have embarrassed the container, that would have become empty, is being taken care of, at least momentarily, by one of those other two containers, as I understand it. Now, the interest that would have been made on that portion during the period that it's been drawn down, it seemed to me, with my lack of any training as an accountant or an investment person, to be money that would be lost to that account in terms of interest earnings. Now, that's what I'm glad you're here for, because I was trying to get around to asking a question the other day. I didn't even know how to quite phrase it. But I think I've kind of phrased it now so I can understand my problem. Do you understand what I'm asking?
Yes, that's a possibility. It is certainly when you're putting funds or resources from a variety of sources into a single fund there, and you rely upon a control mechanism, some control mechanism by the agency, there is always the possibility that they're going to run out of money from one funding source.
Isn't that the purpose of it, is to take care of that problem? Cause it could prevent that from becoming a problem where you have to go back to that funding source and raise the fee or in some way get more money from it?
Well, it will do that.
And that's why we're being asked to do it, as I understand. Now, when that works to protect against the concern we have, doesn't it, to the extent it works, deprive another funding source from interest on that small or whatever size amount of money during a period of time that it's being used?
It would if there were no restrictions or no requirements that if they in effect borrowed from another funding source and that funding source lost interest, that they would have to repay it with interest when they did in fact have some additional inflow.
And is that why these drawings are important, to show that that if that happens, there's all kinds of checks to be sure it's accounted for and that the interest then is charged back against?
Well,
these
drawings are really intended to describe for you how the flow occurs under a variety of different circumstances. And obviously, the legislature can establish control at any level it chooses. It can.
Well, I don't want to sidetrack you, but the simple answer then to my question is yes, there would be some loss of earnings, but that would be taken care of because we've got this very good process of knowing what's going on, and with the existing law we have, that it would be the interest would be paid back through the accounting procedure.
You could have some loss of earnings, yes. And if they were to occur, and if you directed in the legislation that interest were to be repaid to the fund to a funding source that they had to borrow from, then that could be accomplished even if you only had one fund.
Oh, uh-huh. So if we kept the funds separate, that could still be done.
That's right.
Oh.
If you separate them.
I feel like I understand a little better. I'm sorry to sidetrack
that's
any fine. Witness. But.
Oh, no. It's a partnership.
Ms. Chairman.
I'm not afraid of offering either one of them, as far as that goes. And of course, one of them was Gary's, and that's not to do anything until they need it. And the other suggestion is give them five and let them come back to the e-board for the other dollar when they need it, and if they do.
Mr. Weeks.
Mr. Chairman, let me see if I can expand on what's been attributed to my side over here. Yes. A little bit. The choice is whether you give them the fee increases they're requesting now and deal with what might result from the legislation in 2 or 3 months, which may mean another fee increase, or defer on any decision on the fee increase now and take up the base budget that you eventually approve and any new legislation and see to what extent you're going to have fee increases or whether agents or insurers will pay the cost of all that other new legislation. And it looks like much of that new legislation can be directed at those who request rate hearings, individual insurers, as opposed to having to be paid by the rates. So maybe most of that can be covered. It's that sort of uncertain right now. So if you approve a fee increase right now, then you're sort of banking on the fact that you aren't going to come back 2 months from now and have to approve another fee increase. And the option of holding off, you have to say, what do we lose if we hold off and don't approve a fee increase now and defer till the first e-board, which is likely sometime in mid-August. And I think you don't lose much at all, because if you approve this fee increase today and they sent bills out on Tuesday of next week, between now and the time agents begin paying a higher fee, you're not going to generate enough money to take care of this problem.
Sorry. Let me ask Mr. Miller from the insurance division. When you indicated what your ending balance was, it was kind of nip and tuck, and if we wait, you might be in the nip stage down at the end here before the binding ends. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hannon, the figure that was quoted the other day, I think, was an ending balance of about $1,500. As Mr. Long said, that may be a little fatter than $1,500, but yes, there is the possibility that early into the next biennium they might have to borrow from someone.
Mr. Chairman, I think what we're doing, we're creating potential borrowing situation here that we've been talking about all day, and by postponing it, I'd like to ask Mr. Thompson, since he's representing the insurance people, what they would be. Would you be more inclined to accept the increase now, recognizing that maybe they might have to come back to the emergency board or someone else later to seek approval for an increase, or would you rather see some other figure set now as far as the insurance industry?
Hal Thompson, Standard Insurance Company. I think that we fully recognize that fee increase is necessary. Not much doubt about that.
Now or July 1st?
That one's tough for me to answer, Senator Hannon. I don't have those figures. I haven't studied that part of it.
I see.
I know they're going to have a fee increase. I defer to the timing of it.
Well,
Chairman.
Senator Wires.
I thought he said $650. If he's talking about $6.50, we ought to give it to him now and tell him to get out of here.
Here's the problem. And look, they're going to borrow anyway.
Yeah.
So Senator Hannon's point is kind of moot. This is not going to affect their having to borrow. Not necessarily. Okay. No, but really, it's such a, you're not going to pick up that much going to the $6 between now and August to get you out of potential trouble. The point we're trying to avoid is sending out a fee increase message now and then send one out in a few months. Mr. Long.
Could I speak to that?
That's the problem. Doing it twice.
Well, let me speak to the probabilities, and it's a crystal ball kind of issue. The probabilities from our, well, first of all, let me say to you that one reason for me to bother you with this request is good management. I can't speak about good legislative oversight. Good management requires me to do this. You know, requires me to ask, because you would rather have a program that was not nip and tuck, just as a matter of the way to run a business. Number two, the legislation that's emerging looks like the legislature, if we're going to do crystal balling, may fund the new stuff from a different source. It may fund it from charges on the hearing process. I don't know. So if you grant this one, and this makes us sound without the new work, you may never see another fee increase. And that's why I'm pushing you today. This one we know we need. The other one is speculative. The odds today are, if you grant this one, we won't bother you anymore. It may not be true, because I don't know what shape that legislation is going to have. So if you forget the other legislation, do we need this fee increase? Yes. Do we need it now? Yes. Will there be another? I don't know.
And that's the problem. That's exactly the problem.
Well, we developed some terrific expertise on the question of fee increases when we were talking about real estate. We got all this phone calls, letters. I put out a questionnaire. So, but I don't know how it fits here. Say we did tell them $6.50 now, and a few months later tell them $5, $8. Are these people, now with the real estate people, we were concerned about the people who were living on a very marginal income. But you go in and your barber has raised the price for a haircut $3, and you complain about it. But it isn't the kind of thing that makes you decide whether you're going to be able to continue to get your haircut.
It depends on the size of the agency. If it's an insurance agency, where it's per
year.
Per person.
Yeah.
So you'll get calls. It'll say, we're on the margin here, and what you've done is to, go ahead.
The beauty, if I don't really want
to. We won't be able to build a new building for at least another year.
The beauty of doing it the way we suggest, if there is one, is if you come to a point where you have to fund new insurance regulation later, it will be a discrete topic, and you can better decide that question then. This question now is a discrete question about running the program in accordance with the governor's recommended budget, and the only question is whether you do it now or July 1st, if you just look at it that way. And we need it now. It's good management to do it now, and I'd urge you to do it. When insurance regulation comes up, take that topic up separately, because the phone calls will be different, the issues will be different,
How do you notify the payers of this fee increase? What would you do? How is that process?
Miller would be a better person to answer.
Tell me what happens. Say we get the disapproval, what would you then do?
That if you gave the approval?
Yes.
I'll take you through the process that we're going to go through when we thought that we could increase fees unilaterally, and we're subsequently disabused of that idea.
Okay.
What we did was send out a bulletin to all of the agents that are licensed with us, telling them prospectively that the fees would increase to this level as of a particular date. And that's how we would handle it. We would advise our licensees in advance.
Now, would the letters or the bulletins say anything like the legislature increased your rate from $2.50 to $6?
Mr. Chairman, if I was drafting it, it most certainly would not.
What would it say?
It would say that the division is going to implement an increase on X date, and it will be this much.
By order of Stan Long.
Yes.
I
let us be perfectly clear about that.
I don't have any problem with that, because we do have the right to do it subject to your approval. And if we had the unilateral right, believe me, we'd have done it. You have watched me not increase other fees in other areas for a variety of reasons. This program is vital. It needs the money. It is bad to make it run in a shaky fashion.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, the committee, I think the committee will stand for it. Well, give them their $6. I know that the industry has said that they can stand it. He wants it.
And their notice is going to say that they did.
He's been polite.
caught me doing something right, did you?
Everyone is promised and concerned that they're not going to stick the blame on the legislature for this one anyway. Chair moves that the subcommittee recommends to the full committee an increase in insurance fees. Is that the right word? Tell me the right word.
License.
Agent renewal appointment fees to not to exceed $6. Objections to that?
Before you do, I have to clear my conflict of interest here. Clear on the record as being a appointed agent under standard. I'll vote for it and send all my fellow agents to Stan Long.
The increase is $3.50, so the total is not.
I hope it isn't there after July 1st.
The total, yes.
Not the increase.
Right, the chair's motion was to set a total not to exceed $6. It was not to increase it by $6.
Right. Make
sure the record's clear on that. Objections to that motion? Do you have your wallet handy?
No, I'm going to my friendly bankers. Yeah. Okay. Before I get selling insurance.
Okay, hearing no objection to that motion is adopted. Mr. Long, you wanted something else. Policy decision here. Shall I or shan't I?
I was trying to figure out what happened at the last meeting that I was unfortunately absent from.
You've got most of it back. We won't tell you unless you.
Well, I'm concerned about the single limitation issue.
What's this one now?
He's doing it to me again.
Oh.
Okay. We have not, Mr. Chairman, raised this issue, and Stan wasn't here.
I'm just trying to find out. If you haven't had your shot at it, Mr. Weeks, take your best shot.
You've always done well coming out of the chute first. the question here is, the bill that's proposed to fund this agency creates two expenditure authorities, one limitation for the Workers' Comp Board, and then a limitation for all other. Our concern is that that's a fairly broad and comprehensive authority, and we would urge you, in light of the fact that you have separate funds or single fund and separate accounting, to establish what you might call either categorical or programmatic limitations, so that the insurance program has a limitation, financial institutions, workers' comp board, workers' comp APA. Each of those units that we'll talk about in a bit would have a limitation of its own. And I think that's what Mr. Long is...
Reverend Jones?
In our area, we just put a limitation on part of the insurance agency, at least. Now, are we talking about some other fees?
We're talking about an expenditure limitation as opposed to what you just granted, which was a revenue,
right,
on the revenue side.
Which would limit the, which they wouldn't need an expenditure limitation on that. You can't spend any more than you get.
Well, if you had an expenditure limitation, that would be true. They couldn't spend any more than what they receive. Well, if you have, Mr. Chairman, Representative Jones, if you have a single limitation, there's a fairly large amount of room to move.
If I might.
Mr. Long.
I don't know enough about the makeup of the rest of the legislature to know who has been playing central roles in workers' compensation issues and tort reform and so forth. But that's really what brings me to this point. From the governor's perspective, we have asked a great deal so far of this legislature and of workers' compensation attorneys and injured workers and unions and so on. We've asked a great deal of them in the name of reform to improve the business climate. One of the arguments about that has come from some very respectable people with a great deal of experience is you need to increase your ability to regulate carriers. You need to find out what's going on there. We have offered up quietly this department and the proposed legislation as one of those tools, and the governor has spoken to it, and I have without a lot of fanfare that a new efficient modern department with a great deal of administrative flexibility and accountability to the governor is what we can do on that front. Now, if you accept that, you may not accept that, but if you accept that, it's what we're trying to do. And what the governor asked me to do is to create the most efficient prototype department that we could. We're really asking you, to put it bluntly, to give up a little bit of legislative oversight in the name of tackling a problem that is tough enough that many of the people who've tried to tackle it so far haven't had as much success as y'all would like, or you wouldn't have those issues here. If you impose... Well, there are some departments around that do not have, that have single limits, I think, single limitations. If you impose traditional strict oversight, over each one of the program areas, our ability to move people, FTE, to respond to rate hearings with people from another area and so forth, can be impinged. Now, it means that, and where it really comes down to this, if we're going to move quickly and efficiently, if you're going to give us that opportunity, and I recognize you may want to, but I hope you recognize why I'm asking. If you give us that opportunity, what you don't see is us before the e-board, as we try to respond. And I can tell you, from dealing with the governor how intense he is about trying to make this department function. So I'm here to ask you to give us a little latitude. I want to identify for you, what it is and what it isn't.
Reverend Jones.
What, Gary, what will this limitation look like?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Jones, we're talking about the policy issue here of it, and what it'll look like will be...
What's it going to say?
It'll say that there's a limitation, a line with a limitation for each of the programs, insurance, financial institutions, workers' comp board, workers' compensation program, APA,
right.
And APA. Six limitations.
What Mr. Long is asking is to add all those together and give him one limitation.
That's what he's asking for.
Based on...
He's asking for a great big brown paper bag,
just like my old private business had.
We would suggest to you that an appearance at the emergency board is probably a small sacrifice to make to keep an eye on the expenditures in this program. And Mr. Long's correct. There is at least one other agency that has a single limitation, and that's the Justice Department. And many
in other
of the
words,
other,
if you under the one, he could go over or under
in any
of the others, but still be within limits of the the single one, which the individual one would not allow that to happen.
The limit on his expenditures, Mr. Chairman, Representative Jones, in, say, insurance, is only to the extent that the revenue can be generated for insurance. So you, when you approve this, you have no idea, if you were to approve a single limitation, you don't know how much is going to be spent in insurance regulation, nor do you know how much is going to be spent in financial institutions regulation, unless you can forecast the revenue, because that's the upper end.
Except that you get some new agents and all that, and you get more money, then you have more.
But you'll never know that, other than position approval.
Senator Hannaford.
Mr. Long, is this going to, if we were to put a limitation on with that, when you say it restricts your ability to somewhat manage, would that then affect, as you were indicating to us the other day, on using the auditors as an example, cross-training those people?
Yes, sir.
Because you'd be bumping up against expenditure limitation there.
And the one of the things that concerns, that's exactly right. At different times, that could happen. The real thing is, this is just straight management now. Commerce, two of these pieces come from Commerce, which has really been a collection of fiefdoms. Now, the director's office is just really kind of a leaky umbrella. They've never really been part of a department. They've never acted like a department. And workers' comp has been a separate department for a long time. If you were going to try to mold those 600-odd people that are going to be in a new department into a true department, you know, with a combined administration like we proposed, you'd do a couple things. If you were real serious about trying to create a new entity and not a patched-together deal, we proposed to the legislature that you abolish those divisions as statutory divisions, and that passed. That's in this bill. And then you propose a single limitation so that a new department head can build a high-output company, is what I call it. If you choose to supervise it a piece at a time and review it a piece at a time, we'll manage it a piece at a time, and that's exactly what we don't want to do.
I think that's over-dramatizing the situation. Fiscal office is simply recommending that we establish expenditure limitations by your operating division. That's pretty darn normal, and a lot of agencies manage just fine. Senator Wires.
I would move that we accept the LFO recommendation and say that I would like to hear from the person who takes over when this is all solidified. I think that's not too much to ask, too much tolerance to ask from the governor in the spirit of our breaking with tradition to bring about new, efficient, bold management would be that the person who's getting ready to actually be there to set that in place to come and tell us about it, and that we send the message that we are very sensitive to these concerns and want to be as cooperative as we can. The board will be here.
Yeah. Okay. Senator Wires moves to accept the legislative fiscal office.
When you're through there, I'd like to ask a question.
Okay. The LFO's recommendations regarding the establishment of expenditure limitations for the operating divisions of the Department of Insurance and Financial Institutions, with the understanding that the department is encouraged to come to the emergency board, and that we are recommending the emergency board be cooperative.
Mr. Chairman, I'll tell you what, I'll support that motion, but I would ask that maybe we direct a letter to both the speaker and the president. And I think that as the governor is trying to ask for some flexibility in this reorganization, I think that maybe what we should be doing is then spending some time during the interim trying to work with the governor's office to develop a reorganization plan that really, I know this is being quickly put together here, but I think that something needs to be worked out cooperatively with the governor's office. We can't ask people to go out and manage people unless we're prepared to back it up legislatively somewhere along the line. And I think the point it makes is exactly right. If we do it piecemeal, He'll manage piecemeal because that's how we...
No, but he's...
But, no, just a minute.
Okay.
But he has no recourse at this point because he cannot make a lot of these decisions in a vacuum here in a short period of time. And I think that we need legislative accountability in this process.
Well, fine. But that is what I'm after, is a little accountability.
That's right. Now, that's why you're asking him to come back to the e-board.
If the limitations are not estimated correctly, and they may well not be, and then they would come to the emergency board and the limitations would be changed. We just don't want to give them a blank check under Senator Weyer's motion and so forth.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I wanted to, we're working ourselves up into almost a lather. This may not exist.
That's correct.
So let me just ask Mr. Long, if I were the manager of the department, I'd like as much flexibility as I could get. I understand that. I can respect the request. Where do you anticipate that the presence of a limit that can be altered approximately every 6 weeks, or how do you anticipate that limit is going to curtail your ability for the implementation of hopefully meaningful workers' compensation reform?
I didn't mean to irritate the chair, and if I did, I apologize.
Oh, no, he just does that once in a while, and it's the most entertaining game in town. Life has been ruined by not spending every day in this committee, quite honestly.
I do it every day without regard to who it is.
You just happen to be here today.
Could I not be here at 3 o'clock after this? I served in a department that had a single limitation, and without regard to what you think or may not think about it, I'm familiar with the philosophy that flows from a recognition that you're all part of a single department and you can be asked to move and work on this and work on that and so forth. And believe me, it creates a different atmosphere. When you think about a department of insurance and finance, you probably think about it all being in one building and in one place. But that isn't the reality. What's out there on the ground for a manager to deal with is an insurance department over there in that brown building by the railroad tracks, and a bank department that's being moved somewhere, and a workers' comp department that's in several different places. And if we keep, if we continue to think about them as discrete divisions and programs, it changes people's behavior. And I'm sorry if you think it's too dramatic, but it is true. I have lived with it in two different departments in state service. I know that the last thing I do to my law firm, which has offices in two cities, is budget them separately. I mean, that is the last thing I'd do. I think there's probably some other ways to provide legislative oversight that allows this new department. And see, if it was brand new, I'd be less worried than I am because it's an amalgamation of three existing programs.
Let me tell you what is I'm sure on the minds of the committee. We've gone through an exercise on the revenue side, creating a central account, and we've got representatives of the industry here as well as the workers' comp director here, or the department head, and we've gotten. I'm sure they're not all upset about the fact that we have the central account because they felt that their money's going to an account and somehow or another there's going to be a way of knowing what to get out of the back side of it. And so that then makes it fairly easy for them to say, well, we can get the report and we'll know what the expenditure is and they can tie the fee to the expenditure and the service. I think there's reason for concern in that let's assume that for the first 6 months of the biennium, you have everyone in the new division concentrating on workers' comp activities. There is indeed then a potential problem from the financial folks and the insurance folks. How are you going to make that up to them in the course of the biennium? If you're trying to I understand that if you have a problem, you want to be able to mobilize forces and you don't want somebody over in the building by the railroad track, say, forget it, Jack, I'm an insurance guy, tell the workers' comp people. And Mr. Chairman, the reason I go into this, I do think there's probably a need for some element of flexibility. Now, you come to the e-board, you get the latitude, that's fair enough. But it seems to me that there ought to be some way of allowing a little bit of flexibility, and I'm not sure just how our account limitation works. What I'm saying is, if we're going to have it the way we're having it on the central account, we've got to have a good accounting system on the expenditure side. And so that coincides
with the
theory here. And I understand the need to try to avoid this kingdom concept that we're trying to impart to...
Well, we just want to keep track of the money. And I really would disagree with Mr. Long when he says that our setting up expenditure limitations for the purpose of tracking money by divisions gives them any kind of management problem.
Well, it
don't understand that.
Well, let me try it this way. And maybe
okay, good.
Maybe I should be still and let Joan Hader talk, because she might be more persuasive on this point. But let me take one shot at it. Examples are sometimes useful. First, let me emphasize again, Mr. Chairman, that we've asked the legislature to abolish these as separate divisions and create a single department. You know, those divisions no longer exist, and except for the expenditure limitation, it would be a real true merger. But let's say we have a major increase requested from a comp carrier. The thing that you'd probably want to do if you were the director is you probably wouldn't want to wait 6 weeks or however long it might be and go to the e-board and argue about taking some people out of the comp program, you know, who are ordinarily assigned there, and having them use their expertise on that insurance regulation matter.
You wouldn't have to do that. That is ridiculous. The only time you get into trouble is if you had spent a whole bunch of money in one of the divisions and then used up the limitation, and that is not going to happen within the space of 6 weeks. And it's not nothing in keeping track of the money is going to affect how you assign your personnel and who works on what. We just sort of want to be able to keep track of how the money's spent. Pure and simple. We have objections to Senator Wire's motion. Hearing none. Carries. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, do we just move all of LFO report so we can get this budget out of here? Or do you want to set it aside?
Mr. Chairman, what we have ready for you is some look at the actual expenditures in each one of the program areas. And you probably aren't going to have the pieces that you need from workers' comp in the discussion at the committee until at least midweek. So Monday, Tuesday, we could Tuesday. Continue with this discussion if you'd like at that point.
Yeah, because Monday we want to deal with the health stuff.
All right. Tuesday, then we can go into the actual...